Alright, this is Sheer number 5. This is Goth. Waitar.
Thank you, Goth. Alright. Here are the questions that we're going to be dealing with. By the time we're done, we should be able to answer the following. Standard case. This does not apply to residency, generally, but does apply to fellowship and applies to post-fellowship for the rest of your career. When a person is on Shabbos, after residency, typically they're coming in from home, and they're paged, and they're coming in, and let's say that it's a major Sakanas Nefashos, they come driving in, and they do what they have to do, they save a life, beautiful, and now they're done. Let's say it's Friday night, Shabbos morning, you have a choice, stay in the hospital, or if there's a heter, go home. How are you able to go home? What type of modalities are available? Now, for sure, there are certain subspecialties where you get called in a lot, and often, frequently, and then there will be an obvious heter that you need your car. Like if you have multiple cars, and actually, if you look at Nishmas Avram, he says, and then you should go to your neighbor's car, right? In other words, like you should go in, come home, let's say, we'll develop how you're allowed to go home, but let's say it's only by a taxi or something. You can't drive back, but what if I need to get called in again? So you'll use your second car. Oh, and then again? Well, then you'll use your neighbor's car. So that's an approach that's out there. We'll see if we can circumvent that or if there's alternative options to that. I've never seen anyone do that yet. The closest I came to once is two cars. But we'll get there. But how are you allowed to get home? If I can just drive home, then there's no problem, right? But if you can't just drive home, then you run into that issue. We'll have to see how we handle it. What does apply to residency is, let's say you're on call, and or you have, let's say you're even an attending, but you have an ER shift, where you know you have to be in the hospital on Shabbos. So we talked previously about, can I stay at home and wait for the emergency to go in, right? Knowing that I'm definitely going to be called in. But do I have a right, let's say if I have a Friday shift, and the Friday shift ends at Friday night, do I have a right to go home under those conditions? Right? Because that's going to be different. We'll see how that differs. But that's going to be a very different question than the first question. Another question is, that's question number 2. Question number 3 is, let's say you're being paid to be on call. Now, why that should be relevant, we'll see. But that also might be very different. There are some postings that say, even though we'll let you go home, if you're not being paid for the call, but if you're being paid for the call, we're not going to let you go home. So we'll see how that works out. And that's commonly the case, by the way. If you're an attending on call, generally what happens is you bill for a consult if you're called in for a consult. So that would fall under that category, and that's a big chumrah, but we'll have to see how that works out. What if it's your child? This is a common scenario for anybody. You don't have to be a doctor for this one. But let's say you take your child to the emergency room because of fear of some sakana, and they take care of it, right? Let's say stitches. Stitches is mutter to be done on Shabbos. Maybe we'll talk about it 1 week. And you get the stitches taken care of, the sakana is over. Can you go home now? Because there's no more sakana. What's the heter for going home? The other question is, let's say you got called in for a non-bnei bris. There's going to be a different psak for that, and we'll have to understand why. So all of these cases, and you'll see why I'm going through each one separately, need to be understood and a plan mapped out ahead of time, so that when inevitably, I would guarantee you, everyone in this room is going to be a doctor, will encounter all of these situations that we just mentioned. Yeah, just all of them. All of them are going to come up. So you have to know how to handle each and every one of them. What they share in common is there's no more pikuach nefesh. There's no more sakanas nefashos. There's no justification for any chilul Shabbos whatsoever. There's no justification for amir l'nochri. There's no justification at all. How do we navigate it? So obviously we're going to need to find some kind of halachic mechanism that allows for these type of circumstances and potential to be allowing you to actually be over on Yisurim and be Mechal Shabbos. So one of the potential mechanisms, so on page one of this first handout, you have what we'll quickly talk about, two mechanisms suggested. One is the very famous Gemara of Hetiru Sofam Mishun Tchilasa. And what's that talking about? So that means, and the Gemara over here on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis has a statement from Ula where he lists, like, there's three or four, right? There are three or four specific cases where Hetiru Sofam Mishun Tchilasa. For example, I'll just give one example, but we'll see what they all have in common and see if we can apply this to our situation. They had this back in the days of the Gemara, they had chanuyos. Chanuyos were these stalls or these little cabinets where they would sell things on yontif, you know, on credit. So there was no money exchange. It wasn't Rebecca from that car, but Yishum, Simchas Yontif, they allowed people to acquire these spices, whatever items from the chanuyos. And the way they worked was they were in this kind of binyan, this cabinet that had a door that wasn't like a conventional door that we're used to from a cabinet, but it was this kind of door where there was an Isser Derabanan involved in opening them. Mishum Soser, Sira, you're being Soser that cabinet. And putting it back together would be an Isser Derabanan of Bonet. So both things were mutter, right? Why were they matir opening it? Because they wanted you to be able to have simchas yomtov. It's a very legitimate heter. This din derabanan of not being so sir the cabinet is mutter because of simchas yomtov. What about putting it back together again? So there's no simchas yomtov involved in that. Why should that be allowed? Hetiru sofam mishum tchilasa. Because we so much want the people to do the right thing and get simchas yomtov, so we're going to let you. Because you're going to be worried, if I don't get to close it up, I'm not opening it, the owner of the cabinet says. You're worried about that, so we're going to let you close it. Even though we have no matir of simchas yomtov to do it, the only heter is to get you to do the opening. Right? And there's several other cases, very, very similar. All of them have in common, very importantly, it's allowing you to do an issur derabanan, and using the same mechanism of the tiru sofa mishum tchilasa. The second Gemara is the one on the bottom of the first page, and over there it's talking about, it's related, you have to see the nuance, there's a little subtlety to the second mechanism. It's talking about here, Kiddush HaChodesh, right? We all know how Kiddush HaChodesh works, right? You have the Edim that come and they're Mekadesh HaChodesh, they come to Beis Din and they declare that these two Edim are legit, they test them, they ask them some questions. If they've seen the new moon, then they're going to say Mekudesh HaKudesh the next day, and there's Kiddush HaChodesh. It's very important that the Edim get there. So there's a Gzeiras HaKosuv, Elamor De Hashem Asher Tikru Oso B'mo Adam, that says it's so important that we get this right, the timing. It allows for Chilul Shabbos to facilitate the Kiddush HaChodesh. Good? So the Mishnah then says, in the next Mishnah, it says, well, what if the moon is really, really obvious to everybody? So everybody in the world knows, everyone in the vicinity of Yerushalayim and the whole Eretz Yisrael knows, everybody saw this moon. So what's the likelihood? We don't need people being Mechal Shabbos, right? Someone's going to be able to do it. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Bein Shinira Ba'alil, which means whether you can see the moon clearly, Bein Shlo Nira Ba'alil, whether you can't see the moon clearly, Mechalin Alavis HaShabbos, right? The Tanakhama says you can be Mechal Shabbos, even if it's likely that you don't really need to, because everybody knows about it. Everybody, you can be confident, even people close by, the Sanhedrin themselves, right, were able to see the moon and be Mechal Shabbos. Mazel tov. How you doing? Okay, good. So, Rav Yossi disagrees, he says no, but what's really important for us is the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says there was this event that happened. Must have been a very clear moon. And many, many, many Edim came to testify about the moon. So Rabbi Akiva sees this. He sees them in Lod, which is not quite where they needed to be yet. They needed to do some Chilul Shabbos to get from Lod to have the Kiddush HaChodesh take place. Rabbi Akiva stopped them. He said, nope, everybody knows the moon. We don't need 40 pairs of witnesses going in. Stop. And along comes Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, famous statement, Ima Akiva temes harabim nimtzes machshilim asid lavo. If you stop these guys now, you're going to mess us up for the future. People are not going to go. They're going to say, oh, what's the point in going? He stopped me. They didn't let me go. So that's the second principle. Machshilin la'asid lava means if I don't allow this isser now, if I prevent it now, then it's going to mess somebody up in the future when we need them to do something. Now, it's very similar to hetiru sofa mishum tchilasan, but a little different. Anyone pick up on the difference? What's the difference between hetiru sofa mishum tchilasan cases and machshilin la'asid lava? Anybody? Very subtle.
Within what they're permitting or within how it gets permitted?
How it gets permitted. But that's not a bad point. It seems like there might be deraisas here, right? Is that what your first point was?
I'm not sure. I would think that it still wouldn't be deraisas.
I don't know. It might be deraisas. I think it's deraisas. But that's a good point. So one difference is, might be that. Right? We don't know the full scope of the Tirus Sofa Mishum Tchilasan. We do know from these cases it's only Derabanans. This very well might include Deraisas. That's one difference. What's the other difference in the mechanism? It's subtle, right? In the Tirus Sofa Mishum Tchilasan,
the first thing is still not done.
Well, the first thing is happening now. And then once it happens, we will matir the Sof. Here, the thing is, there's no heter in the beginning, right? There's no tchilasan. It's really a concern for something in the future that will be done improperly, right? Now, you could say that about hetiru sofa mishum tchilasan also, but we'll see that there's going to be an attempt by certain poskim to play this up a little and make things difficult for the other scenario I didn't mention yet, the biggie, Friday night. This is I should mention this now. The other big scenario that's going to happen, even to people who aren't in a Shabbos program, this happened to me 3 or 4 times in my residency, which was a Shabbos residency. 3 or 4 times I encountered the following. Let's say that, this was the first time it happened. I was the house doc in a hospital, and my shift was on Friday. I was taking care of everything that goes on in this little hospital. And my shift ended at 4. You know, Shabbos was like one of those early winter Shabbosos. The person had to come in and replace me. And right at that moment, I think I told the story previously here, some kid comes in that's clearly in anaphylaxis, right? Had some kind of allergic reaction. And the parents were carrying this girl in. She was like out and looked like ready to arrest, if not already, right? And I'm walking out, and they're carrying this girl in. I turn around and I look, what happens? Now, this was an ER that's not used to pediatric real emergencies. They're okay with ears and throats, but when there's a real something happening, suddenly everyone like spread away. Like, this poor parents are coming in with this girl, and like all the nurses are running away, and no one's going near it. And my poor replacement is like, you know, like looking like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So here was the Nisayon. Do I go back and help, and now Shabbos will enter, or do I stick to my Shabbos program? So what's the right thing to do? Obviously, stay. Now that I'm doing that, because I'm not a horrible person, which you'd have to be, by the way, I want to go on record as saying, anyone who leaves under those conditions is what destroys, aside from destroying Shabbos programs all across the country, is making the biggest chil Hashem you could possibly do. Never do that. And if you're a good human being, you won't do that, right? So you come in, so I stayed. Now, the shaila was, can I go home, right? That's a very common scenario for everyone, even in Shabbos programs, where you'll see when it comes to the winter zman, and when that zman gets early, even though you're officially allowed to leave, you're constantly going to be faced with, you know, there's a lot of load for the whole team. Do I do my part for the team or do I leave? I have patients. I could rush through them and do a poor job, or I could do a meticulous job and then end up in Shabbos. It happens all the time, and you have to make a decision what you're going to do. is part of the pressure the fact that I'm stuck in the hospital for the rest of Shabbos. That's the Shabbos. And this is I get this asked all the time because this comes up all the time. So we'll see. Back to the Makor. So our background now is Hetiro Sofan Mishum Tchila San. We see in the Gemara there are cases where they allowed us to do Isurei Derabanan in order to make sure that some other agenda was covered. That Simchas Yomtiv or whatever the agenda was, we wanted you to do the mitzvah so we let you get away with an Avera. Or Shema Yachshin L'Asim Labo. The case of the witnesses coming in, Rabbi Gamliel said, Rabbi Akiva, don't hold them up because if you hold them up in this scenario, they're likely in the future not to come anymore. So we want to make sure they still come. So Shema Machshilin La'asid Labo. You're going to make people make a future mistake. All right. Now, based on these two, what's the answer to our question? If we use any of that to allow us in our various scenarios to go home. You've been called in for an emergency. It's Shabbos. You did it. Now I want to go home. Do we apply it to yourself in Mishum Tchilasan the same way for that scenario? In other words, we want you to come in and save people's lives. If you're going to hesitate to do it because you're stuck there for Shabbos, maybe we should be Matir Chilul Shabbos to go home.
How are you getting home? You're driving or having someone driving?
So that's the question. So from the first Makor, for sure, it sounds like the most you'll be able to do is some kind of Issur Derabanan, right? Which would mean, like, what's an Issur Derabanan that you can do to get home? Right, maybe, right? Go take a taxi. Now, is there any real model for us to do that? In other words, like, these are very specific. Who says that you're allowed? Ula says these are the four cases, or three cases, it sounds like this is it. Right? Where do we get a right to extrapolate out? So there's one more sugya that's very, very important, where really all the money is. And that's pages 2 and 3. What's going on page 2 and 3 is a din in Tchumen. Everybody knows how Tchumen works. Let's review it quickly. There is an iser, al yetze ish vimkomo b'yom ha-shabbos. You're not allowed to go, how far? Testing you guys. 2,000 amos from your makom shvisa, right? You're supposed to establish your place of residence on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, right? Here's where I am. I'm at home. I'm out in the middle of the woods. Wherever I am, this is my makom shvisa. During Shabbos, there is an iser to travel more than 2,000 amos from that. Now, of course, the good news is it means the entire city, right? So if you're living in a city, right, then you have 2,000 amos from outside the city, wherever the city ends. The city ends where the last house that's within 70 amos of the other houses is, right? So the city limit. So let's say, who knows Bergen County? So, for example, Bergen County, right, I always had this dilemma. If I'm called in, I'm living in Teaneck, and I need to get into Columbia, let's say. So, to get from Teaneck all the way to Fort Lee, piece of cake. It's one big city. They're contiguous enough. Each city is right on top of the other that we could call it one gigantic city. There's no tchum problem over there. Where do I get into trouble, potentially?
Really?
At the GW. So, we're going to see, you know, different posts can handle this differently. 2,000 amos might not be enough to get from, you know, the Jersey side to the New York side. However, there's more to talk about this. We'll get back to it when we start talking real halacha l'maisa, but there's something called squaring off a city. Anyone know anything about this stuff? All right, so we'll come back to it. But tchum is going to be a very important issue. Now, what happens if a person goes outside their tchum on Shabbos? There's a special gzeira, a takana. You're penalized. If you go outside your tchum, you get dalet amos. That's it. Now you're stuck. Because they really were serious about this halacha. There's no going outside your tchum. If you went outside your tchum on Shabbos, you're punished. Or you get a knas of you're stuck now to within dalet amos. So that's the halacha. So the Mishnah says that the way it used to work was these eidim coming in to be mekadesh the chodesh. Right? The witness is telling about the new moon. So they used to all meet together in this place called, anyone know? It's right there on page 2, right? Is that page 2?
Yes, page 2.
Beis Yazik. Now, what was special about Beis Yazik? Anyone know? Beis Yazik was Bikiddush. Right, exactly. Because they knew that, you know, to incentivize people, offer a little food. Right? Like my Tuesday night shiur in Tina. I'll not forget it. So, Tuesday night shiur had a size of, you know, a respectable crowd in the beginning. Maybe, I don't know, 12, 16 people consistently. So a guy comes up to me and he says, you know what? You want more people to come? Let's offer food. So I was like insulted. I said, wait, what? Torah. They'll come for Torah. I said, you're insulting them. I said, all right, give it a try. 30, 40 people. Works every time. Right? And here, then I was really feeling, wow. Whoa. Like, was there any food offered? No, okay. So, but it's the precedent's right here in the Mishnah, so it's very comfortable. Now, what happened is, in the beginning, all these people that are coming in, it's great, they're drawn in by the food. But what's the penalty they pay? They're outside the tchum. A lot of them are coming from outside the tchum. So the Mishnah says, "Berishon lo hayu zazin misham kol hayom." They're stuck, penalized. They got that knas. They can't move. Along it came Rabban Gamliel Azakein, and he said, "We're going to give you alpayim amah b'kol ruach. We're going to take off the penalty, basically, right? If you came in to do this mitzvah of announcing the new moon." So we're going to let everybody not just have Dalet Amos, but we're going to give you the full status of a person who lives in that city. Right? Because they were going to have to sit 4 Amos within the city. But now we're going to treat you like a person in the city, and we're going to be matir that. And then the Mishnah adds, V'lo elu bilvad, and it's not only the guys coming in to tell about the new moon, but you know who else gets this dispensation? A whole bunch of other people. A midwife, a person, a fireman, and a policeman, and someone, a lifeguard, all these different people that are coming to help other people, we're going to give them this little, extra dispensation, that they won't have this knas of the Dalet Amos. What's the mechanism working over here? Why? Hetiru sofam mishum tchilasa. That's what's operating. It's that same idea. We want these people to come, so therefore, we're going to be matir, what's normally usser, in order to get them to come and not be afraid to come. Because if I don't care how good the food is, if I'm stuck in Dalet Amos, I'm going to be very hesitant to come. But if they give me the run of the city, you know, I'll feel a little better about it, right? Can you imagine being stuck in Dalet Amos? No, I can't, right? So, okay, great. So there's another one of Hetiru sofam mishum tchilasa. Now the question is, how far does that go? Does it let me do Isurei Daraisa? Because it doesn't sound like it yet. All it's letting me do is get off the hook for the Dalet Amos and do 2,000 Amos. So it's letting me off the hook for an Isur Derabanan. So all I know about Hetiru sofam mishum tchilasan would at most allow me, when I'm on call, running in for my emergency, to get home through mechanisms that are Derabanan. Which would mean what? You cannot drive home. As of now, you can't drive home. Now, did anyone ever see a doctor drive home from a call? Have you noticed anyone in your neighborhood driving in? I hope not, because it's like they're supposed to hide. They're supposed to avoid the marasayim. But, you know, once you're sensitized to these things, you notice, right? I won't mention any names, but I used to notice guys doing it all the time. Now, so I wondered, when I first noticed it, and before I knew the sugi well, I'm saying, well, I thought it's only a two solution to be lost on Durabanans. How are these guys driving back? Does it mean they're all bad people? God thinks so, but no, absolutely not. We have to understand, where did they get the heter? And do we have that heter? And how exactly does it work? So for this, we need the next page, because the Gemara gets very, very interesting on the next page. The Gemara says the following. This is the Gemara in Erevin. Here's the one we're going to do with class participation to keep everybody awake. All right? Everybody listening? Mayor, I'm recalling you. Get ready. All right. The Mishnah says the following. Mi shiyatza birshus. Somebody who went out with rishus. What does that mean? Someone who went outside their tchum with rishus. Who is that? Who's coming out with rishus? Well, we know just on that list from that previous Mishnah, right? A whole bunch of those people have Rishus. Someone who's going to Kiddush HaChodesh for sure is allowed to go outside their Tchum. Anyone else? Yeah, someone who's going to save a life. Tchum means nothing if you're going to save a life, right? So all those people. V'amru lo kfar nase maisa. But what happens in this Mishnah? Things change. They're on their way in, right? You're on your way driving over the GW to save the life of the person in Lenox Hill, wherever you go, right? And suddenly, you get called back. Oh, we don't need you anymore, right? The person was saved, right? Or the new moon was declared. Or whatever the heter was, it's gone. The fire's out. The guy's not drowning. The baby's born, right? All the potential reasons you were able to go, it's done. What do we say now? I'm outside my tchum. Do I have the dalid, or does the dispensation count even when I didn't actually get there? So the Mishnah, what do you think the din's going to be? Of course, right? So the Mishnah says, even though kfar nasem, I say, yish lo apayim ama l'chol ruach, fantastic, right? But, what does that tell me? Still, what are they allowing me to do at most? Din d'rabban. I don't have the penalty of being stuck in Dalet Amos. Now here's where it gets interesting. You ready, Gav? The Seifa of the Mishnah says the following. Kol hayotzin lahatzil chozrin l'mkoma. What does that mean? Translate. Somebody. Whoever goes out to save someone
can go back home.
Can go all the way back home. Now going all the way back home involves probably an Isser Darais. Wow. Either because the assumption is going to be, we'll see. But the reason it's assumed that it would is if it's Yud Beis Mil, right? A certain distance is not just Tchum Derabana, but Tchum Deraisa, according to many, many Mishnah. Right? Yud Beis Mil, that distance, is Al Yetze Ish Mim Komo, means Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, which was Yud Beis Mil. You walked outside that, now you're being over on an Isser Deraisa. And aside from the fact that the assumption is the people that were going in for these things are coming in carrying food, because some of them had a multi-day journey, and they're carrying their walking stick, or whatever they're carrying, their little thing over their shoulder, right? There's like, the rice is going on, they're doing hotzah. And they are allowed to go all the way back home carrying all that stuff, it sounds like. So what's the problem? Stira in the Mishnah. The ratio of the Mishnah says, all they get is 2,000 alma. But the Seifa says, if you're going out to save somebody, chozrin l'mkoma. So how do you reconcile this contradiction? Everyone understand the contradiction? Got the contradiction? Everybody? So no, solve it for me. What's the most poshut solution? Contradiction is like this. The Reisha says, kol hayotzin, right? Kol hayotzin b'rishus. Mishi yotze b'rishus. He gets 2,000 amma, right? And then the Sefer says, Kol Hayotzin Lahatzil can go all the way home and probably do a lot more.
With one exception.
Is what?
Is to be able to go home, meaning really to go anywhere else.
Who gets that exception?
The guy who did the mitzvah.
Which mitzvah? Lahatzil. So the obvious trap that you all fall into, and the Gemara mentions, why don't we just say the difference is, right, because the Gemara asked this question on the next page, right, that, hey, what's going on here? The Rashi said that, the Sefer said that, so they said, well, isn't it just that the Reish is talking about the cases like calling the new moon or a Rishus? That's not a life-saving thing. And the Seifa, where they really give you the big dispensation, is Lahatzil. What's the problem with saying that? Page 2. That Mishnah from a few seconds ago, right? In page 2, it didn't say that. In page 2, it talked about the midwife and the fireman and the policeman and the lifeguard and all those people. They were only given 2,000 amma. So that's the problem. You can't just get out of it and say that. All of them are saving people. So what's the deal? When is it that you're allowed to go all the way home and be probably over on the Raisas? What does it mean, kol yotzin lahatzil? And when is it, kol yotzin birishus, where you're limited to 2,000 amma? This is the critical, critical question. So the Gemara asks it and gives two answers. So let's just take a look at this inside quickly. On the next page, the Gemara gives the answer of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. I'm actually going to say it outside. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav gives the following answer. He says, here's what's going on. when it says, it's talking about the same group. The same group in the Reisha and the same group in the Seifa. The difference is that the Seifa is talking about people that went out to do a battle, save Jews from an enemy. And what it's telling you in the Seifa is they're allowed to go all the way home with their weapons. They're allowed to carry their weapons home. When it says that they're allowed to go in Komo, it means even though they're going to be carrying these weapons in Rishus HaRav. Why are they allowed to do that? Because Pikuach Nefesh. It's Mamash Pikuach Nefesh. What's the Pikuach Nefesh? It was an event that happened. The Gemara tells the following story. There were these guys that went out to save a Jewish town from attack, and they took care of it. They were on their way back, and they put down their weapons as soon as they could safely, even though they weren't yet back home. And they put it inside this house so that they would be carrying it the least amount of distance. And what happens? The enemy got wind of it. They came after them. They quickly ran into the house. And the Gemara describes how they ended up killing more of each other than the enemies killed them. It was a disaster. So ever because of that, Maisa Shahaya, a new takana was made. You're always allowed to take your weapons all the way home, despite the chilul Shabbos. What's the matir? Safek pikuach nefesh. Safek pikuach nefesh. Does it have anything to do with tirus sofa mishum tefillah
son? And they have to have a head there. You can just say to them, don't go home.
Yeah, but they want to go home. So they go home.
Why are they allowed to go home? We just say, if it's theory in the Mishnah, the Risha, they weren't allowed to go home.
Well, you're going to tell them, anyone who goes out to save someone, you're not allowed to go home. It would probably be a problem. People will hesitate to go out, right? But it doesn't mean that they go home and be Machal Shabbos Daraisa, right? They should only have 2,000 Amos, right?
They should. What is 2,000 Amos going to help them if they live 2,000 Amos away? Where are they going?
Well, at least they'll be able to live in the city where they're at and get 2,000 Amos. But the Seifa is giving them more.
Why?
Because according to this, they're only going 2,000 Amos, right, also, or whatever the distance is, but they can carry their weapons. In other words, it has nothing to do with any...
Oh, so it's not all the way home.
No.
2,000 Amos from the weapons.
First Pshat says they get to carry their weapons.
No.
Right? It's actually machlokes if it's all the way home or not, but it doesn't matter for us. Either way, the first one's not going to be where we're going to learn our stuff from. The second answer, though, is much more interesting. The second answer says like this. The second answer is, no, forget that stuff about it. It's not just carrying weapons. It's going all the way home. Who gets to go all the way home? It depends. If the Jews won the battle, you don't get to go all the way home. If the Umos HaOlam won the battle, you do. Why? Sakar Safashos. Right? And that's all it's about. That's Pashut Pshat in this Gemara. That this Gemara is not telling me any big chiddush that you're allowed to do a Daraisa because of Hetiru Sofa Mishum Tchila Son. All this Gemara is telling me is in the case of going out to battle, right? You can go home if there's sakanas nefashos or potential sakanas nefashos for you. Or you can take your weapons with you when you normally couldn't because of sakanas nefashos. But at the end of the day, Pashut Pshat in this Gemara is what's the most you can do with Tirus Sofa Mishum Tefillah Son? 2,000 Amos. End of story. So most Rishonim seem to learn it Pashut Pshat. But there are two Rishonim, the Rashba and Tosos, that actually change the whole Pshat. You can see this. Look at the first page of the Gemara in the Mishnah. See that first little tiny Tosos? Kol ayotzin lahatzil chozrin lim koma. Right? Is that talking about the Reisha or the Seifa? The Seifa, right? Now, according to the Pshat we just gave, the Seifa, what's the reason Kol HaYotzi Chozrin Lim Koma? What's the ultimate reason? Pikuach Nefesh, right? Does it have anything to do with Hetiru Sof Mishum Tchila Son? No. Comes along Tosfos and he says the following. Hadu Lo Choshev Lei Beper Kama De Beitz Agave Hanach Gimel De Hetiru Sof Mishum Tchila Son is for some technical reason. What's he telling you? What did Tosfos consider the reason for the Seifa? Hetiru Sof Mishum Tchila Son. That really was the reason. And who agrees with him? The Rashba. So there are two very significant Rishonim that learn the reason you're allowed to be over on Isri Daraisa is because we want to make sure people go out to save people. And because of the importance of encouraging people to do life-saving ventures, we're even going to allow you to go home using Isri Daraisa. What's the difficulty? How on earth did they learn the Gemara? Right? That's what we're going to have to be very creative with. We'll see in a minute.
Saying that you're allowed to go, that you're allowed to get rid of Tum Durabana, we're going to let you go home. Mm-hmm. Right? Once we allow you to go home, there happens to be a Sakana, and therefore, because it's Sakana Safosha, we allow you to keep your weapons with you. Right?
Well, and then you put yourself in that Sakana Safosha. So, is that Aser? Well, if it is Aser, tell us the Durabana, first year. And then again, if you're yourself, you should kill us, right? That's all, you just told over a Tzvi Pesach friend. That's what he says on this. Exactly what you just said. And therefore, he limits it the way you're limiting it. He learns Tosas the way you're learning it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, just to get to the bottom line, learns Tosas and the Rashba Kipshuta, which is they're saying you could be over on Daraisas. Rav Moshe Feinstein is the famous Posek, is the reason why I see these guys driving home from their calls and from when they're called into the hospital. They're being somach on Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein says, look, the Rashba said it, Tosva said it, and then if you look a few pages away, we don't have to go through it, on page 4, or later page, the Rambam, he also learned to be saying it. Right? But the Rambam's all the controversy, we won't get into it. Just to get into practicality, Rav Moshe Feinstein takes this the full distance, and he says, absolutely, you're allowed to be chozer b'daraisa, which means, if you're called in, you can drive home. So how did they all learn the Gemara? Let's just do that quickly. What's Pshat? Where do they see this in the Pshat and the Gemara? How does the Pshat about Nitzchu Yisroel or Nitzchu Umos HaOlam become you're allowed to go home, Hetir Sofa Mishum Tchilasan, and even with Daraisis? How did that happen? So Rav Moshe Feinstein gives the following very incredible Pshat. It's very important in terms of the practical nafgamina when we get to apply this in real life. So you have to understand this. He said, Pshat is like this. The question was, the Rashi said again, all you get is $2,000. The Sefer said, no, you're allowed to go all the way home and be over on Isuri Daraisa. When? So we learned before, well, if the Jews won and everything is in safe mode, so you can't go all the way home, you can't use the Pekul Nefesh. But if the other people won, you're in danger, so you're allowed to use the Pekul Nefesh to go home. Rav Moshe Feinstein reverses it. He says, if the non-Jews won, that's the case where you only get 2,000 amma. But if the Jews won, that's when you get to go all the way home. What's he getting at? He says, it's not talking about winning this battle. He's saying, Yad Akum Takifa, or Yad Yisrael Takifa. What does that mean? It means is, in a case where you're going out to battle and let's say it's the United States of America, right? So it's a government friendly to Jews, right? The Jews are in good position. So here I am, I'm living in, Bergen County, whatever, and I hear upstate New York, there's a bunch of bully anti-Semites starting up with some Jews, and, you know, they heard about my son Gavriel, and they figure I can handle them too. So they call me up. Every Shir has that one channel, right? And they say, come out and save those guys. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, just a bunch of bullies, right? This is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to go out there, you know, maybe just go like this or whatever I'm going to do, bring Gav, and they'll run away. And it'll take 2 seconds, and I'll get home. As opposed to Yad Ha'akum Takifa, which means, no, we're living in like some anti-Semitic situation, and the Goyim, or there's a pogrom going on, and they're calling us out to save the Jews from that. What's the difference between these two scenarios? One, I expect it to be over in a snap, and one is going to be tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be not a simple matter. What's he getting at? He's getting at the following. Who needs the dispensation of the Tirus Sofa Mishum Tchilasan? Why do we have such a dispensation? Because we're worried that a person, a doctor, is actually going to say to himself, despite the fact that he's being, or she, being called in for a life-threatening illness, will say, well, it's going to mess up my Shabbos. right? If I go in, I'm stuck in the hospital. So a guy who's thinking like that, we don't want you thinking like that. We want you looking at Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh the way you look at the day of the week at Pikuach Nefesh. No hesitation. So we're going to remove it and say, however, let's say it's a case of real Mesiras Nefesh where we see you're going in despite the odds that it's going to be this long, arduous, horrible thing that's going to take a long time. We're not worried about you. If you're willing to do that, there's no way you're going to be a guy who's going to be Misrashel, which means you're going to hesitate to go in just because of Shabbos. So that's the chiluk Rav Moshe Feinstein makes. Why is this important? Because its application now gets limited to this principle. When do you get to go home, Daraisa? When and only when we really feel there's a danger that you're going to hesitate to go in next Shabbos because you're going to get stuck on Shabbos. When is that true? So he holds across the board, any doctor that gets called in is analogous to the short scenario. Meaning, you know, this is true, by the way, in my experience. Most of the time, right, let's say I'm called in, you know, the house doesn't work. So I'm called in. I'll tell them what to do if I have to go in and see things myself. That's not that long. I'm expecting that things will be over in a hurry, and I'm going to get to go home. So that means that I'm in danger now of if I'm told that, no, you're going to be there the whole Shabbos because you're not allowed to go home, hetir yourself and shoot to us. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, in every doctor on call case, that it's a call from home and you're called in for a quick emergency, you're allowed to go home via daraisa, which means you could drive home. When would it not be true? Well, let's say it's a shift. So, is there any threat that next week I'm not going to do my shift? I'm not going to go into Shabbos? I have no choice. If you have no choice, right, it's only true when you have to make the calculation and we're worried you're going to make the wrong calculation. We want to remove it from you, all the Yitzhahara, we want to get out of you. You don't hesitate when someone's life's in danger. You go in, you don't worry about Shabbos. So we want to remove that. So we say, but if there's no issue of that, right, then you're stuck. You gotta stay in. If it's a shift, you can't go home. So if you have a shift Friday night, according to you're going to be happy to take the kula of Rav Moshe and drive home the other times. But if you're really consistent, then if you have a shift Friday night, you should stay there the whole Shabbos. You cannot use, at least you can't go home daraisas. When else do people apply a chumrah to that shita? Let's say it's a nochri. How does the heter for a nochri work? Why am I allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a non-B'nai Bris? What did we say? What's the real head? For who? For me. So it comes along many in the post and they say, well, you know, if it's a Kaddish Moshe to someone else, I might hesitate. It's a Kaddish Moshe to myself? No hesitation. So therefore, the Paskin, if you're going in for an upgrade, then you don't get to use the head. Right? Because we don't apply the principle. The principle won't apply. Ah, good. So that's going to be my response. So this is right now the psak being offered is not taking that into account. They're saying because it's both, right? The official word is a doctor's b'chal shabbos for non b'nei bris, even though you're not really supposed to. Mishum eva for himself, pikuach nefesh, and for klal Yisrael, right? So sounds like okay. So sounds like you know Rav Shachter writes this as a psak that. If it's a case like that, you can't go home. The other case there of Shachter writes that you can't go home is if you're paid. If you're paid, then you're going to do your job, right? You're paid to go in, so you don't get to make this decision, right? That's what he's thinking. It's not now. Let me respond to these now, since we're talking about them. In real life, I don't think either one of those is correct, the Fiyanis Daiti, at all in terms of the Metzius. So number one, do you think anyone, you got to be like the most, I don't know what the proper word here is, either tzaddik or rabbi. No, you have to be a tremendous tzaddik to think that when you go in to take care of a nochri, you're doing it because it's pikuach nefesh for you. Do you think people really, I will admit that I don't think that way. I go in just to save somebody. There's no way I'm thinking like that. So my thinking is no different no matter who I'm called in to save. Aside from the fact that most of the time, they don't call up with, oh, Mr. X, who's a Jew, is in Sakana, come save him. Or mix the X who's not. You don't get that information as part of the demographics right up front. You know, if you're stupid enough to look in the chart and find out, you know, that would be a mistake in my view, but whatever, right? So I don't think Halakha L'maisa that has any real application. And the other one doesn't either. When I'm on call, and I'll say, actually, getting to your point, if anything, the idea of Pirkei Nefesh applying to Klal Yisrael is such a remote concept, it's going to be more open to rationalization, right? It should be more into yourself than yourself. What about the fact that you're paid? Does that change everything? The fact that I'm paid, does that mean I might not, you know, I might hesitate to come in? Of course I still might hesitate to come in. I'm paid for every consult I do when I'm on call, right? Now, am I going to make the calculation? Oh, well, let's see. I'm about to kill my Shabbos, but I'm getting paid. Oh, I better run in? In a million years, will I care about one little tiny consult? You know, means nothing in terms of, first of all, let's say that I'm a lowlife and I really, it's all about the money. That money is nothing compared to your usual salary for the year. So you're really not thinking about it. Aside from the fact that, and even Rav Shlomo Zalman says this, and Rabbi Bleich says this, in reality, most people are thinking much differently, and they still have the cheshbon to make. If you're a fellow, for example, and you have call from home, so your job, or you'll be fired, is to be on call and to handle things. Do you think that takes away any judgment call on when you should go in? Of course not. You're still making those judgment calls all the time, even though you're salaried and being paid. It has nothing to do with it. You're going to say, I'm doing my job. My job is to decide whether I go in or not. So here's a given call. Is Shabbos going to influence me and make me make the wrong decision or not? It still can. So Halakha L'maisa, many poskim would say not to follow this chumrah, although those who pass the matter of Shachter, be warned. He does, in Ikrei Atzel, mention both these chumras. But I talked to many people about it because I really never totally seemed to be in jive with the Metzias that I've experienced, and many other poskim don't agree with that application. Okay, any questions on that? Now, truth of the matter is, Moshe Feinstein's psak is a minority opinion. The majority go like Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is not to learn the Gemara in this incredibly mechudishtik way that Rav Moshe did, right? That pshat I gave you, as well as I explained it, did it really seem to be pshat in the Gemara? It's a very difficult pshat. It's a very chiddush. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a tshuva against this psak, where it's such a beautiful example of the way true gedolim behave. He writes at the beginning of the tshuva, because he's about to rip into Rav Moshe's tshuva. Rip. I mean, like, tear it apart for 8 pages. So he writes, the only reason I'm writing this tshuva is because I spoke to this tzaddik in Gal and Babel, and he gave me permission to do it. Right? So it's a beautiful example. It's one of the nicest expressions of what it means to really be a gadol. He wasn't going to like do this without speaking to him and having permission. But then once he got it, he really kind of like takes apart with Moshe's shita very, very much. So much so that the majority of people paskin along the lines of Shlomo Zalman, which is that really the most you can do, right? He's thinking, like Rav Tzvi Pesach, right? Really the most you can do is that 2,000 amah. That's really Pashut Shah. But because the Chasam Sofer was Mekel, and the Chasam Sofer said, well, that you could do more than that, he says, Kfar Horozake, and the mainstream approach to this issue is that when you go in and you're called for an emergency, you can go home with any Darabana. So Amir Lenocher. And this, that really is the mainstream psak. Now, if you ask your posik, and they say, go like Rav Moshe, you can go like Rav Moshe too. But you get the impression, if you look at Nishmas Avraham, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, all of them follow really Rav Shlomo Zalman, which is to go home only with your abundance. Now, obviously, if you're going to need your car, that changes everything, right? The whole equation is different if you need your car. I'm going to end with one other case. Friday night, just because this is really, really important. let's say you have this Friday night scenario where you, you're holding over and you have to make this decision, what should I do? Should I stick around or and then be stuck on Shabbos or go home? Do we get to use the Tirus of Moshe Tchilos? Now, using the reasoning of Rav Moshe, and Rav Shlomo Zalman uses the same reasoning as Rav Moshe, but on a Derabbanan level, not a Deraisa one. So what would you say? Should Friday night be any different than getting called in on Shabbos? What's the whole backbone of this head? Why, if I'm called in on Shabbos, am I allowed to go home? Why? We don't want you thinking about Shabbos. We want you thinking about saving the life. We want to get Shabbos off your radar. Don't let it influence you negatively about going in. So, isn't it the same thing Friday night? Should I stay, take care of this girl who's anaphylaxis, or worry about Shabbos? Well, we don't want you thinking about Shabbos. So get it off the plate, right? Should be the same. So the truth is, if you hold like Rav Moshe, for sure you get to use this heter the same way. However, Rav Shechter here is machmir again. What's the basis of this chumra? And Rav Shechter, if you want to see it inside in the second handout, all these chumras of Rav Shechter are here on page 5 in Ikvei Atzon. He says, well, there is this idea, Hetiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasim. You know what it means? The only time you get Sofan is if what? Hetiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasim. If the Tchila took place. So if you went in on Shabbos, now, when we matir, you're going home. But if you didn't go in on Shabbos, you're there because it was Friday. And you were there already, right? You don't get to use Sofan. Where is this coming from? What does that mean? So he quotes a bunch of makaros. They're in the packet over here also. What those makaros say are the following. I'll give you an example. You tell me if it's analogous. There is, are you allowed to carry on yantif? Are you allowed to carry on yantif? Okay. What are you allowed to carry? Anything that's needed for yantif, you should set this for. So let's say you have a machzor, right? A beautiful machzor. Your favorite machzor. And you want to use it for yantif. So you let it carry that to shul? Of course. What about shul's over? Taking it home. You let it take it home? Well, why? Why you let it carry it home? There's no tzarach anymore. Let's say there's no tzarach. You don't need it at all to finish that. You have enough to daven at home. So you're not really technically allowed to carry it home. Hotzah is only mutter on yantif the tzarach yantif. But I have no use for that machzor back at home. However, here's an application. Shulchan Aruch says, we're worried that you're not going to take your machzor to shul in the first place if we don't let you take it home because you're afraid it's going to get stolen or something's going to get lost. So we'll let you do it. Right? However, the Mishnah Berurah says, Rabbi Akiva Eger really says, when is this true? This is true only if you brought it in. But if it was already in shul, we're not going to let you use it to yourself. So Rav Shechter says, wow, we'll apply that over here to Friday night. Is it analogous? What's different? If we were operating only with the Tirusov and Mishum Tchilasam, okay, what's the other principle? Shema Yachshivim La'asid Lava. Right? What are we worried about here? Are we worried about the guy going in, right? Once he's in, or the guy Friday night, what are we worried about? We're worried about him hesitating, right? To stick around and do the right thing. Next Shabbos, any Shabbos. It's a very, very loose analogy to say that the machzor case is the same type of case. Because there we say, well, you got your machzor in shul, so now we're not going to let you take it home, right? If you didn't have your machzor at all, well, we want to generate that you bring your machzor, so then we're going to let you bring your machzor and we're going to let you bring it home to encourage you that when it's home, you bring it in. But if it's already there, there's no reason to be matir bringing it back because we know it's there. So Rav Shechter wants to apply that to these cases of Friday night. So it would be an incredible chumrah to do this. Because Friday night is probably the most common scenario. So, again, if you paskin with Rav Shechter, be aware that this is going to be a very big chumrah. If, I don't know, you know, halach l'maisa, if it's in ikvei atzon, you'd have to talk to him and see if halach l'maisa, I never wanted to ask. I got my psak. And I think it's important for everyone to be aware, because these chumras are known, that on all three of the chumras that are mentioned over here, there is very sizable opposition to it, including this last one. So that Friday night, most poskim will allow you to apply, despite what is being said in the Kveat, some the same heter. Now, all of them are within, really, the mainstream shita would be Rosh Shlomo Zalman, using Durabanans to go home, and even Rav Moshe Feinstein, you should know, if you can use the heter of the Dereises, he says if you can easily use a taxi, you should do that and not do driving home. The only time you should really drive home, even within Rav Moshe Feinstein's big kula, is a person who I would think has some suffix that he's going to need his car. And it's going to really affect the next
Let's say you're
we didn't do that. Shift. That was only, we didn't do shift case. Like that's like a shift, right?
So there's no
heter to your assumption. Is there any justification for coming home? So the answer is no. In America, everybody writes. There's no real justification for going home. But if you guess what? If you look at Shmir Shabbos, if you look in Ishmael Safran, they write that in Chayat Tzedek and in all the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael, the nurses, we read this last time, can drive, go in with a taxi and go home with a taxi from their shifts, and the doctors can do it as well. How come? That was the big mystery. Anyone who knows the sugya says, what's their heter? Okay, what's their heter for going in? That was the thing we spoke about a few weeks ago, right? You're allowed to go in, you're not, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman told me, I'm allowed to use the heter of pikuach nefesh to go in. I don't have to be making big efforts to avoid using pikuach nefesh to be matir. But there's no more pikuach nefesh. What's allowing me to go home using a miro nachrin? So, what do you think?
I mean, are the cabs in Israel miro nachrin?
What?
Are the cabs in, like...
Well, they would arrange it, yeah. They have Arabs doing it, that's all hard, right?
Call it an event?
No, it's a whole system. It's a set system. Oh, okay. They go around, every shop is set up. It's set up a priority. It's not like a case by case. But it was mutter. If Shlomo Zalman passed, it's mutter. What's the basis? So I remember talking to many people about this. How on earth are they matir something that seems by all rights that should be usser? So I got very wishy-washy answers. Nobody's like firm on this. Everyone says, I remember this, but Rabbi Neuberg, he said he wrote a letter to Rav Neuberg, the author of Shmir Shabbos, where's the heter coming from, right? And I don't know if he received an answer or not, but I never heard one. One day I'm looking at, it's in your hand at the end, Rav Nevensol mentions the following. What would be a heter? This is something Rabbi Bleich said in another context. Rabbi Bleich said, we didn't talk about this, but when Rav Moshe says, I could be matir d'oraisa, zatir sofim shum t'chilasa, what gave Rabbanon, Chazal, the right to override a din d'oraisa b'kumba aseh? Right? Anyone who knows the rules, right? What are Chazal allowed to do? Are they allowed to be knocking out d'oraisas? Ever? Yes, right? They can. It's more Yivamos, Sadaf, Tzadikas, right? The more Yivamos says, if it's B'Shev Al Tasir, Migdor Milsa, like to make a ged there, and it's B'Shev Al Tasir, they're allowed to do it. Very classic examples. What are they? Shofar on Shabbos, Lulav on Shabbos, right? They were Okir, didn't they, in Duraisa? But what does that Gemara clearly say you're not allowed to do? The Kumba say, they don't have a right to do that. So how are we doing it? How is this Hetira Sofim Shut Chilasim, which is a rabbinic mechanism, how is that overriding B'kumba Aseh Isuri Shabbos? So there are two explanations given. One is Rav Yaakov Emdin says it must work like this, because he agreed with the big heter of Moshe Feinstein. He agreed also you can do the Raises. He said Chazal were given the permission to define pikuach nefesh. Now, we've seen that before. Anyone know where? Where did we see they were defining pikuach nefesh? Remember the chol lefanim? Right? What constitutes pikuach nefesh? Chazal were given the power to define it. How far do we go? So the Noda B'Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer said, well, chol lefanim. And then the Chazon Ish said, no, sakon lefanim. And then we had that whole discussion. Remember, the Tzitz Eliezer said, I need rov. And Shlomo Zalman and Rav Shechter said, no, you look at it like Tuesday, Kedah Dadash Shabir Rabbit, Trim of Sam Hashem, whatever the details are, you should know that, because that's also a very important thing to use all the time, is what constitutes potential pikuach nefesh that is allowing me to be docha things. Chazal were given the rights to define it. So Rav Yaakov Emden said, here's another example. They felt the fears, the possibility, the chash, that somebody would not go and save the life the next Shabbos is so real, an individual not doing it, that Hetiras of Mishum Tchilasan is defined as mamish pikuach nefesh. That's Rav Yaakov Emden. Then comes along Rabbi Bleich, and he suggests something that's very, very misaber. It's a very, very logical thing. He says, or, societally, it was seen that this is a real problem, and this has happened. There are certain neighborhoods, no one wanted to do Hatzalah. No one was volunteering to be part of Hatzalah. Why? They didn't want to kill their Shabbos. So right away, they had to be matir things. Because it's mamish pikuach nefesh. When it's mamish pikuach nefesh, because people are actually not doing it, that would be another scenario where you have to be even matir in Yisurei D'oraisa. Because it's pikuach nefesh now. It's not a bichidush. So, Rav Nevinsol says, in one line over there, the reason Rav Shlomo Zalman was matir, let's say, for the nurses to take a taxi back, was because otherwise no one's going to do the job. And Eretz Yisrael, that's a real metzius. There's a lot of Jews, and most of the field is Jewish. So if they really said, anyone who's on a shift's got to be Friday night shift, we'll see you Sunday, right? You got to be there the whole time. You're not going to have too many people wanting to do the job. It was a real metzius problem. So because of that, because of the real chash, pikuach nefesh, that was where the heter comes from. In the United States, it doesn't exist. It's now very, you cannot go home by d'oraisa for sure from a shift in the United States. What about Amir Lenochri from a shift? So you don't have the heter of Mishum Tchilasan, like you said. You don't have it Friday night if it's your shift. You don't have it Shabbos if you have a shift. You don't have it. Is there any room to be makil there? So I'm just going to say this. By my full understanding of everything, I thought not. But a very, very significant posik gave someone a heter to do it when it got to a point where they were going to be away from their house too many Shabbosos. So it's worth the question. If it's like a few Shabbosos, like let's say I had 9 as the first year, 5 as the second year. So, you know, not such a big deal. I stayed in on all of that, right? But let's say this poor guy, is in 50% of the Shabbosos. Then already the poskim would maybe use, not the Raisis, that would never be worked there, but Amir Lenachri could be worked in as a tzarech gadol of killing Shabbos for this guy so much of a high percentage of the time. So it's always worth a shayla to see if in your particular circumstances, even under those conditions, you'd be able to get home. But if it's just sporadic, probably best not to look for a heter.
What about something like a shuttle or public transportation where
shuttle and public transportation is equal to a taxi, like same amount. They'll always put the taxi. The only thing we didn't talk about, a lot of things we didn't talk about, but one of them is tchum. It's very interesting and it's worth looking into this. We started talking a little before, but tchum is always a problem. When Rav Shlomo Zalman gives his heter of Mila Nachri and the Shemir Shabbos and the Nishmas Avraham, when they quote it, they throw in, as long as you're not going outside Yud Bey's mill, outside the Tchum, because that's D'oraisa. And that becomes a big problem. But in the footnotes in Shemir Shabbos, he says, Rosh Shlomo Zalman sees room to be Mekil, and this is why you have to ask for a Psar, even by Tchum, because maybe there's many poskim that still hold it's only D'orabanan, not really D'oraisa. And the Rambam, who's the big one who holds it's D'oraisa, Yud Bey's mill, says that only in Rishus Harabin and not in the Carmelis, we consider all our Rishuyos, he's my name, and not to be Rishus Harabin. So there's room to work on that. But if you try to look up this halacha straight up in Shemir Shabbos or in Nishmas Avraham, you're going to get yourself into trouble because you're going to not even be able to do a meal and offering beyond, you know, the tchum, beyond those yud-based meal. And, you know, for within Bergen County or, you know, areas of where it's all contiguous, you're okay. But let's say for me it became a problem going into the city, or for someone up in the mountains or something like that, it's definitely going to be a problem, and you have to be conscious of that an extra issue. So you have to ask for a psak. A, do we worry about tchum at all? Is it d'oraisa versus d'rabbanan? And B, if it is d'oraisa, can we be samach on Rav Shlomo Zalman's kula that, you know, he'll allow us to put it in as part of the heter d'rabbanan? Okay.